But it made me go back to the very first sermon that I did years and years ago, and it was titled, God is Good? And I'll never forget it because it was so pivotal in my life at that moment. You know, I had just lost my husband, and those kind of questions, you know, sort of arose. And in tackling the sermon, I tackled the very questions that I was warring against in myself. And in it, God revealed himself. And it's interesting, and I say that because unbeknownst to Pastor and even Woody, you know, there's a message God has here today. And there's trickles of it. As I was preparing this bulletin that you all have today, you know, if you look inside, the scripture that's there is John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Pastor quoting it just now in prayer time. A while back, I had picked up the book Hosea. I'm sure you all are familiar with Hosea. Hosea was a minor prophet in Scripture, and he was during the time in which Israel had split into two. You had northern Israel, and then you had Judah. And northern Israel went through a lot of things, and Hosea the prophet saw these things coming. But it's a beautiful story that he tells, and it gets a little twisted on some of, you know, the attention it's got. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with, there's a movie out now that's supposed to be loosely based on Hosea. Loosely is a pretty, it's very loosely based. But Hosea's picture is actually a picture of God and how he feels towards his people. God's faithfulness compared to his people's unfaithfulness. So just a little background about Hosea. At this point, as I said, it's split into two. And if you want, you know, the story as to how the division, you know, turned to 1 Kings, it gives that story there, 1 Kings 12. And God gives a vision to Hosea where he sees the destruction that's going to come to pass. The Assyrians will invade and conquer Israel and take them captive. So we start out Hosea, the first three chapters. It's kind of split into two sections here. You have the first three chapters where we're given a picture of Hosea and his wife Gomer. And God tells Hosea to go and take a wife, and he tells him to take a specific wife. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 1 of Hosea. And we're going to read verse 1 through 3. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, I'm so sorry, guys, the son of Josiah, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry, and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. After this first little section, Gomer actually goes off and commits adultery against Hosea. She starts to fool around and you know, sleep around with other men. Different scholars debate if she started out as a prostitute or just became a prostitute after this incident. But either way, the picture is there. She was unfaithful to her husband. This imagery is God showing the unfaithfulness of Israel after everything that God had done. Delivered them out of Egypt, tore down the walls of Jericho, gave them a king. Each time God had fulfilled a promise or delivered them out of the hand of the enemy, they would slide back into the bed of another. Idolatry and adultery is symbolic for unfaithfulness to God. God, a faithful God, continuing on in his covenant when Israel couldn't even maintain that's what they had promised God. As we go further into Hosea and into chapter 2, we start to get a little bit of the intensity that God feels as his people have betrayed him. Hosea has strong language that God brings, the accusations and warnings that God brings against his people. But after Gomer goes out and cheats on her husband, and let me just describe adultery for a second. For those that may not have ever experienced it, for those that have experienced it, you know. Adultery is like severing off a piece of yourself. You have become one flesh with the person you have married, one body, one spirit. And when they violate that covenant, it's ripping apart a piece of yourself. And then they go and they defile it with another. And the worst is when they come back and bring that defilement to you. Adultery is a very severe and painful thing. And the adultery that the Israelites had brought against God was grievous. Worshipping other idols, trusting in men instead of their God, losing the knowledge which they had had for centuries. We know the stories. We know of Noah. We know of Moses. We know of Saul, his fall. We know of King David and his rise. We know the times that God had delivered Israel, and yet still they went back. It's funny to me, as I was preparing for this, you know, you think about mankind as a whole. How many times has God revealed himself, not just to the Israeli nation, but to people, grafting us in through Jesus? And yet we slip away. We find another lover that looks better. We find another lover that tells us what we want to hear, speaks sweet words to us, makes us feel like we're you know, what we feel like we're lacking from the one that we have, gives us that 20% we feel like we're missing. And we slip into it and forget the one who gave us everything. Our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand, our hedge, our shield, our comforter, our guider, our shepherd. We have drifted to the wolves, and the wolves welcome us with open arms. Come on in. I've even made a table for you, a place for you to sit and make yourself comfortable. All the while ready to devour us whole. In chapter 3 of Hosea, you see a shift. In chapter 3, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who look to other gods and who love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. In this small moment, you see Hosea go and purchase his wife, who is now a prostitute, brings her back, says, you will no longer do this, and I will honor my covenant with you as well. God had the option to end the covenant with Israel because they had broke it. But he chose instead to renew it. Why? for love, because he loves his people. So he goes and he purchases her back. And even in this little message here, we're given a promise of a king to come. And in the latter days, we will all worship and bow down to. The prophetic utterance, the echo of the one to come. But in the meantime, Israel was going to lose a lot. We all know, you know, Israel eventually is broken up into pieces, scattered. And it wasn't until after World War II that they were finally given back the land, the promised land. Again, another prophecy fulfilled. God promised that it would come to pass, and here it is. We tend to look at this story as if it's a love story between Hosea and Gomer, which is what that movie kind of portrays, you know, a man's endless love or redeeming love for his wife, and how she, after being pursued and swayed back, turns from her ways. But that's wrong. That's a distortion of what this story tells. This story tells of a God and his love for his people. Of a God that is willing to go to the utmost extremes to bring his people back to him, giving them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn from what he has warned them against over and over again. Hosea is not only a warning for them then, but it's a warning for us now. Just as then, we are resorting to man to deliver us. How many of us have fallen into the trap? If we just get a good president, we'll be free from this. If we just get a good man, we'll be freed from this. No man is perfect. Every man falls short. It is only through Christ that we will find the true deliverance that comes. Do we still pray for a good man to be in power? Of course. A godly man, a man who will be sensitive to the utterances of God. But he is not our salvation or our deliverance. How many times have we allowed science and stars to distort our the very fabric of who we are, our genetics, or looking to the stars to give us an indication of the future? I can't tell you how many times I try to tell people, why is it that astrology has the same fate for every single person that just so happens to be born under that star? Madness. And that's not to say science is wrong. Never, never. In fact, true science points to Jesus, points to a creator. How many well-educated, intelligent men and women have stated that everything points to a grand design, that there is something more. Chaos doesn't create chaos. Something is behind it all. But we go back. We drift back. When great disasters happened, when 9/11 happened, how many people flocked to the church? Because they were scared. And then a few years pass, things get quiet, things get peaceful, and they go back. But worse yet, it's like the more you come back and then go back out, you're worse than what you came back the first time. Because now you're seeing people go out and try to distort the word of God to accommodate and placate the world. Instead of seeing the world changed by the word of God, let's change the word so that it accommodates the world. And God, through his prophet, beseeching his people, repent, turn back. Am I not the one who pulled you out of Egypt? Am I not the one who delivered you? Am I not the one that sent my only son to be crucified on your behalf? No greater love than this. Come back to me. I will take you. I will renew our covenant. Come back to me. But there comes a point. there comes a place where his beseeching, his drawing will cease because you've made your choice. God sends people to hell because they chose to. They chose not to go back. They chose to neglect and reject the love of God that has been bestowed upon them. God is constantly reminding us of his faithfulness. In chapter 11 of Hosea, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as they who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. And he shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them, because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion when he roars. Then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. And I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. Do you hear the cry of the Father? The love, the torment. Did I not teach you to walk? Did I not hold your hand when you were a child? And yet you depart from me. It's so easy to turn from God because of pride, because of fear, because we don't like certain aspects, because we want to do things our own way. Do you hear the heart of the Father for his children? As it continues in Hosea, he continues with the warnings. As we see today, the warnings, the accusations, you have turned from me. Do you not see the destruction that is coming to pass because of the choices you have made? Again, as I just read, God points out, you chose this. You made that choice. Let's bring it down to the individual. You chose to marry that person. You chose to take that drink. You chose to take that drug. I am trying to reach you. I am trying to receive you back into myself, to deliver you from what you have allowed to consume your life. But you are rejecting me. Why? When I just want to heal you. I just want to point to that spot and say, this part is diseased. and it needs healing. Like a surgeon, I don't have time to give you anything to numb the pain. I'm sorry, but if I don't get this out now, you're going to die. And I would much rather see you suffer in a moment than die, to lose you for all eternity, because that is what we're up against. A friend at work once told me, she said, if I believe and I die, what have I lost if there's nothing on the other side? But if I believe, not if I choose not to believe and I die, and I was wrong, how much I have lost. The choice, I can say, is simple: to return, to repent, to go back. But as we get closer to the return of Christ, the world starts to tighten in. Everything starts to become more appealing. We as Christians, we that want to stand firm on what truth is, are made enemies, are mocked, demoted. But if ever a time was more imperative to stand on that firm foundation, it's now. We are watching prophetic things that have been uttered through Scripture come to pass. And the Lord, just as in Hosea's day, is beseeching his people because the time is short. Beseeching his people to come home. Come back to me. Stop running. It's interesting, the last words of the book of Hosea, chapter 14, the very last statement that is made to the reader. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the transgressors stumble in them. A word of wisdom, of caution. Those who heed the words of the Lord are righteous, but those that reject them will stumble. How many times in life have we in our own personal experiences know those moments when we have walked away from God because we're angry or we're hurt? And it's like we can't get things right. Like something's wrong. Something's missing. I don't understand why these aren't working out. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand. Well, perhaps it's because you're outside of the one who directs your steps, of the one who writes your story. The only story that's going to have a happy ending. I'm sorry. That is the truth. When we try to write our own story, we're doomed for failure. Take it from me. I wrote mine twice, and I lost twice. And then when I finally decided to allow him to write my story, I've watched every beautiful piece of tapestry come into place. I've watched him move me into places of safety. I've watched him bless me with a home. Once I finally came back and accepted the arms that have been extended to me this whole time, it was painful when he started to point at the parts of my life that still needed deliverance, that still needed healing. I brought one up Wednesday night. You know, I was 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I would have looked at this the same way the world's trying to look at the story of Homer and Hosea, or Gomer and Hosea. That it's a love story between the two of them. Because I loved love. I loved the idea of love. I was a romantic. I loved the idea of a prince sweeping his princess off her feet and taking her away, setting her free from the life that she was in. I loved that, so I pursued that. Totally missing that the whole time my prince had already come. My prince had already delivered me a long time ago. He was just waiting for me. And when he touched on those parts of my life, it was painful. It's painful to die to yourself, but it's much more painful to lose yourself for all eternity. That is the gravity. That is what people are missing in this. That is the message, that there's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and none come to the Father except through him, Jesus Christ. Another thing that I thought was interesting that kind of just brought everything together was I'd pulled a message to put on the back of the bulletin. I don't know. I know, Cherie, I know you've said you read the little messages on the back of them and stuff. But I thought it was so interesting because I'll be totally honest. I just kind of grabbed one that looked like it had a good title because I tend to be that person, you know, judge a book by its cover. Ooh, that looks pretty. I'm going to put it right there. But in it still was the message, and it says, the big issue of it is eternity. For I have not shunned to declare you to the whole counsel of God, Acts 20:27. How hard it must be for a doctor to tell a family who is anxiously awaiting news on the condition of a loved one, I'm sorry, he didn't make it. How hard it must be to say to someone who just had a medical test, I'm sorry, but you have cancer. Yet a doctor must tell the truth. In the same way, it's hard at times to deliver the whole message of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said he had not failed to declare the whole counsel of God. When we share the gospel, we like to say things like, God loves you. He will give you peace, joy, forgiveness, and hope of heaven if you will receive Jesus Christ into your life. But we avoid using the words hell or judgment because we're afraid people will get offended. However, the word gospel means good news. And before I can fully appreciate the good news, I need to fully know the bad news. Jesus did not come to this earth to be an additive into our lives. Jesus did not come just to give us warm, fuzzy emotional feelings. He primarily came to deliver us from an eternal judgment in hell. And things like happiness, peace, and joy are fringe benefits. The big issue is eternity. We must not be afraid to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We have a message to share, and it isn't always an easy one. God loves humanity. He is ready to forgive humanity. But if people reject his loving offer, then they seal their own fate and secure their judgment. And if we are going to be faithful to declare the whole counsel of God, then we must tell people. That's the message. That's the message of Hosea, the warning. That's the message of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Freedom from sin, freedom from hell. And the added bonus is a Father that loves us so. All for love. Everything he did was for love. Everything that he's going to do is for love. It's hard to swallow these sometimes, knowing what has to come to pass. You know, you read Revelation and you see the destruction that's coming, the wrath of God that will be poured out. It's vengeance, righteous. If he was not just, if he was not sovereign, then he wouldn't be fully God. Vindicating those that have died, children lost. We shy away from the tough parts of God, and we're never fully healed. But when we press into him and allow him to do the work that needs to be done, we see deliverance. I'm going to end today with just a simple message from him. repent, and come home. If you don't know Christ, he's easy to find, and he's been waiting with outstretched arms. If you have turned from him because you're angry or hurt or sad, he's ready to help you understand and to find peace in your situation and to deliver you from the hurt that you've experienced because of poor choices. God didn't come to hurt you or to confine you, trap you like a bird. He came to set you free. Sin ensnares. The enemy traps. Don't be fooled by what the world tells you. So we'll end with prayer. Hi, Angel. So we'll end with prayer. I want to first thank you, Lord, so much for your word, for your wisdom, for your guidance, and how even in Scripture you're crying out to us today. You're calling your people out, even from Old Testament. You are calling your people to come back, to repent, because the time is at hand. The clock is ticking down, and you are calling your people before it's too late. One last chance. Come back to me. Stop running. It's okay to come home. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to tell you why these things happened. I'm going to help you to see the bigger picture, because it's more than just you. It's everyone. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. You didn't have to. You didn't have to take that cup, but you did on our behalf because of the love that you have for your people, your wayward people, that in spite of ourselves, you still came to set us free. Thank you. And Lord God, I lift up those that have backslidden, those that have fallen into the traps and the snares of the enemy. Deliver them. Soften their hearts, Lord God. Remove the scales from their eyes. And help them, Lord God, to be sensitive to the utterances and the promptings of the Holy Spirit that is drawing them back. Father, I pray for your people that you have called to go out to these places of danger and hostility, and I ask that you give them supernatural strength, that you encamp them and protect them. Give them the words to speak at the moment that it needs to be spoken, Lord God. Let the angels go with them. Father, lift up your saints. Lift us up as we carry the message of Christ, the good news, and the full counsel of God to mankind as we eagerly wait for your return. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray again for Joyce. I lift her up and ask that you relieve the pressure that is on her sciatic. Lord, for all the prayer requests that we have seen come through the chain. But we also thank you for the miracles that you are doing, even in the midst of our suffering. And Lord, I just pray for those that perhaps don't know Christ yet, but have been led to this moment. Receive Jesus. Accept him as your Savior. Repent of your sins. And follow Christ. Lord, bless your people that are here today. Send them out, Lord God, with confidence and with love and with joy. I thank you so much for them, Lord God, your faithful people. I pray all of this in your mighty, beautiful name, Lord Jesus. Maranatha and amen.